Psalm 71. It's entitled Prayer of an Old Man for Deliverance. In thee, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be ashamed. In thy righteousness deliver me and rescue me. Incline thy ear to me and save me. Be thou to me a rock of habitation, to which I may continually come. Thou hast given commandments to save me. Thou art my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O Lord, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the grasp of the wrongdoer and ruthless man. For thou art my hope. O Lord God, thou art my confidence from my youth. By thee I have been sustained but from my birth. Thou art he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of thee. I have become a marvel to many, for thou art many strong refuge. My mouth is filled with thy praise and with thy glory all day long. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. For my enemies have spoken against me, and those who watch my life have consulted together, saying, God has forsaken him. Pursue him and seize him, for there is no one to deliver. O God, do not be far from me. O my God, hasten to my help. Let those who are adversaries of my soul be ashamed and consumed. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonour, who seek to injure me. But as for me, I will hope continually, and I will praise thee yet more and more. My mouth shall tell of thy righteousness and of thy salvation all day long. For I do not know the sum of them. I will come with the mighty deeds of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, thine alone. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and I still declare thy wondrous deeds. And even when I am old and grey, O God, do not forsake me until I declare thy strength to this generation. Thy power to all who are come, for thy righteousness, O God, reaches to the heavens. Thou who hast done great things, O God, who is like thee? Thou who hast shown me many troubles and distresses, wilt revive me again, and wilt bring me up from the depth of the earth. Mayest thou increase my greatness and turn to comfort me. I will also praise thee with a harp, even thy truth, O my God. To thee I will sing praises with the lyre. O thou Holy One of Israel, my lips shall shout for joy when I sing praises to thee, and my soul which thou hast redeemed. My tongue will also utter thy righteousness all day long, for thou art ashamed of those who humiliated, who now seek my hurt.
Amen.
Amen. Of a risen Saviour, he's in the world today. I know that he is with me, whatever men may say. It's a famous song and chorus.
Lord, is what you and I need to be passing on. Even when I'm old. He says, even when I'm old and grey. Well, I'm not grey, I'm grey, but I'm not old. Well, I don't feel it anyway. You may not agree with that, but that's okay. Once I get a little bit fitter, I'll run a race with you and we'll see who's old and grey. The strength of the Lord is within us. And it's about, you see, we have to pass on the baton. The baton of the Spirit of God, the Word of God. But we need to get hold of that baton. We need to get hold of that anointing. We need to get hold of God. And we need to see the power of God moving through people's lives. So that when we come into contact with people, we change their destiny. We change their destiny. We are a people with a destiny. We are a destiny. And we need to start to change people's destiny when we come into contact with them. Praise God. One day Roy was walking away from church or somewhere, I don't know where he was, but he bumped into this young lady here, and she was singing I'm Henry VIII, I am, and he stopped her and told her about Jesus, and guess what, she got saved. devil tried to destroy her. Come on. The devil tried to destroy her with alcohol and things like that. She looked like she was, well, the doctor said she was dying. We went and prayed for her, and guess what? God is a God of miracles. That's my God. That's the one I serve. That's the one I live for. That's the one who I'm going to preach. That's the one who I want to see moving in signs, wonders and miracles. That's my God. I'm not interested in a God of just nice things. Oh, lovely, bless you, bless you, you know. Bless you. The promises of God are to bless me anyway. He will bless me. When I'm walking and reading the Word, when I'm spending time with God, it is a guarantee that I am blessed. You know, but when you're in the presence of God, I am blessed, I am blessed, I am blessed. Every moment of my life, when I'm walking in the presence of God, I am blessed. You need to realize that. You are a blessed people. When you walk in the presence of God. That's where the church needs to get back to today. Instead, we have a concert. Every Sunday. Flashing lights. Some churches have smoke machines. That's what you want. Go to the theater. Go to a rock concert or something. But don't bring it into the church. Bring God in. Bring the presence of Jesus in the church. I've been speaking about this for nearly 12 months now. And last Saturday, we were in Teen Challenge, and they put on something just for 5 minutes that David Wilkinson said, and we downloaded it, didn't we, Adrian, the other day? And he's saying the same thing, that the world has brought the church into the church has brought the world into it, and the church should be taking Jesus into the world. It says go out into all the world. It didn't say bring the world into you. It's become like the world. It's become acceptable with the things of the world. The church has become watered down. We've become a compromising church. And then we wonder why our nation has gone to the state it has gone to. We wonder why the blessings. We wonder why things are going wrong financially. Why? There's problems in your life because you've not got hold of God. You've got to get hold of God. And as we take hold of Him, we'll see. I'm not saying that that promise is your life. That is no way the truth. But what it says is that we are connected to Him who can supply all my needs according to His riches in glory. Not according to the Bank of England that's skint. Not according to the USA who's broke. Not according to the countries in Europe who are broke. But according to Him who has all things in control. Holds everything in His hand. And His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. And we've got to come to that place and we've got to start to move in them dimensions with God. You see, God wants supernatural things for each and every one of us. Supernatural things for each and every one of us. But there's a price to pay. We have to move in. We have to get connected with God. We have to have a relationship with God constantly. And He will change our lives. He will change our directions. He will make connections that you and I never thought of making connections. He will introduce you to people. He will take you to places that you've never been before. Because it's His plan, it's His purpose, and it's His will. Where are you going next? I've no idea. But Lord, just point me in the right direction. Just point me, Lord, in the right direction. Just show me, Lord, what's the next step to take, and I'll take it. That's what God is looking for today. He's looking for people who will say, well, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. You say jump, Lord, I'll jump. Hallelujah. What for? I don't know, but He told me to jump. Do you know why? Because God demands obedience. God demands obedience. Even in the small things. Even in the small things, He demands obedience. We better have a scripture reading, I suppose, as well, haven't we? Move on. Praise God. If you turn to Haggai. Yeah, one of the minor prophets in the Old Testament. Just before the book of Matthew. I mean, I could preach on Psalm 71, but I just want to carry on with this and just move where I believe God wants us to go. Haggai chapter 1. Hallelujah. In the second year of Darius the king, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came to by the prophet. That's the most important statement. the word of the Lord came by the prophet. That's what we want. The word of the Lord. Haggai to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the son of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, this people says, The time has not come, even the time for the house of the Lord to be rebuilt. But then the word of the Lord came to the prophet, saying, It is time for you yourselves, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your panelled houses while this house lies desolate? Uh-oh, what's happened? You see, Zerubbabel left with a group of people and went back to Jerusalem, went back to the city of God and began to build the temple. And their enthusiasm began to wane. And then they started building their own houses. Built nice panelled houses and really making themselves comfortable. And the house of the Lord was left unfinished. And God began to speak through the prophet Haggai and say, Look, you've built your own houses. You've got yourselves all nice and comfortable. You've got your little nest. Living on your own. You're quite content with that. But he says, My house, the house of God, lies in ruin. Where's the house of God today? It's in us. The house of God. We're part of the house of God. We are the house of God. When we get saved and we invite the Holy Spirit into our lives, it comes in. And this begins to be the house of God. Are we building this house? Or did we just start on it? We made a decision. We accepted Jesus. We went to one or two Bible studies. We prayed a couple of times. And then we said, I'm okay. And then we left it unfinished. We've left the house not complete. We've left the house empty of glory. We've left the house empty of power. We've left the house empty of the Spirit of God. Is that what we've done? That's the state of the church today. How many churches have you been to where you see the power of God? Where you feel the presence of God? How many people can raise their hand and say, I feel the presence of God in my life? Let me tell you, you that have felt the presence of God need to be keeping that special. And you need to begin to keep connecting to that and start to release that presence of God wherever you go. Lest the house become derelict, unkept. Lest the house become powerless. And it becomes overrun by the enemy, the devil and his ways. You have to keep the house protected. You have to keep the house anointed. You have to keep the house full of God. Verse 5 in Haggai 1, he says, Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much, but harvest little. You eat, but there's not enough to be satisfied. You drink, there is not enough to become drunk. You put on clothes, but there is not enough to keep you warm. He who earns wages to put into a purse with holes. Does this ring any bells to anybody? Does this strike a chord in your heart? Well, the prophet's saying, put your house in order. Amen. Put your house in order. He didn't say get the pastor to put your house in order, by the way. He said you put your house in order. You are responsible for you. You're not directly responsible for the person sat next to you.
You're responsible for yourself. Because it's you who gets into the kingdom of God. You don't bring people with you. You go on your own. Because nothing we have, nothing that we are, means anything lest we are filled with the power and the presence of the anointing of Jesus in our lives. Everything else will burn. Everything else will become dust. Everything else will rust and decay, except that which is spirit. That which is spirit. That which is the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Verse 7 says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." And then he begins to say, "Go up to the mountain, bring wood, and rebuild the temple, that I may be pleased with it and be glorified, says the Lord." The reason God wants you and I to build this temple, this tabernacle of our lives, is so that God can bring His glory. Amen. So that God can place His glory in these vessels. That's what it's about. It's not about vain glory. It's about His glory. He wants to come in. He wants to enter into your life so that His glory comes in. And the presence of God is seen amongst you. So that when it says where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I. There is the I am in the midst of each and every one of us. I am in the midst of my people. Hallelujah. This is what God wants. God wants to be in the midst of His people. It's not about how wealthy you are. It's not about how intelligent you are. It's not about how strong you are. But it's how much of Jesus, how much of God's Word is dwelling in your life. How much are you in love with Jesus? How much are you in love with Jesus? That's what it's about. And as that anointing and that presence and that connection with Jesus begins to flow in such a way, you're connected straight to the throne room of God. And you'll see the might and the power of God flowing through your life. Verse 9, "You look for much, but behold, it comes to little. When you bring it home, I blow it away. Why, declares the Lord of hosts, because of my house which lies desolate, while each of you runs his own house. Therefore, because of you, the sky has withheld its dew, and the earth has withheld its product. I have called a drought on the land, on the mountains, on the grain, on the new wine, on the oil, and on the ground producers, on men, upon cattle, and all the laborers of your hand." Yeah. Read that verse. Read it again when you get home. Verse 11. God's called a halt. Nations are going bust. There's famine. There's wars. There's floods. God's called a halt. God's called a halt to His protection. God's lifted His hand off. Said, "You don't want me? Do it on your own." And suddenly the things begin to get messy. And this is the state of the nations today. Nobody's interested in God. Nobody cares, really. Even Christians, so-called, I hope there's none here, go around and say, "Oh, you know, they put on their Sunday suit." Praise God, Charles has got his Sunday suit on, bless him. Hallelujah. Dan has got his Sunday suit on. I've got mine on. I like to look smart when I come into the house of God.
I'm coming before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I've come to worship Him and to adore Him. I went to see, if I was invited to see the Queen, I'd go dressed up. Yeah, I'd look good. Just impress. But not just outwardly, I want to impress God inwardly. And I'm sure Charles and Dan, everybody wants to impress God inward, from our inward parts. The Word says that out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. The Spirit of God. The life of God. We need to realize that our nation is in the state it's in because our nation has turned from God. Today I was looking on the internet about the new president that is running, going to run the EU. Started to look at him and look at his track record. Somebody said to me this week, oh, he's an atheist, he's anti-Christian, he wants to ban Christianity. That's not what I've just read. The man seems to be a Christian. The man wants Christianity. The man wants things to be done right. Well, I pray. You know, people say to me, oh, he's the Antichrist. No, the Antichrist lives in our heads. The Antichrist lives up here. My thoughts are not your thoughts, says the Lord, for my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are not your ways, says the Lord. You see, your thoughts are what control you. And if you let the devil, every time the devil comes to talk to you, what does he do? He gets into your mind. Sows seeds of doubt, fear. Gets in your mind. Because he knows that's where you're the weakest. That soulish man. Because that's the thing that sins all the time. That's where the Antichrist lives. That's Antichrist. That's anti-God. Every time you want to do something good and great for God, the devil says, do you think you should do that? Do you think that's a good thing to do? Every time God speaks to you and says, I want you to give some money to this need. And the devil says, I don't think you can afford that. Hello? Ever had that happen? I don't think you can afford that. You need to be careful. There's a recession on. Hallelujah. Praise God. Isaac sowed in a time of recession and famine and reaped a harvest. How much more? 1,000-fold. Oh, come on. God's a God of multiplication. You see, if your spirit's right, God will handle everything for you and bring you out. God will protect you. When everything else is falling down around, you will stand. You will stand. Had some good news today, this last week. Spoke to Josephine during the week. She came out for prayer a couple of weeks ago. She came out for prayer for one thing. She wanted her papers so she could go to Belgium to go and live with her husband. She has been separated from him for 10 years probably. And she's been coming here on and off, and we've seen her health change, we've seen her features change, we've prayed with her, and 2 weeks ago we prayed with her, we laid hands on her, and guess what? Her paperwork has come through. Glory to Jesus! Come on, this is Jesus, this is the power of God at work. This is when you put Him first. Everything else begins to fade away. When you trust Him, things begin to happen. When you put Jesus first, the devil can't get in the way. Glory to Jesus. God's on the throne. Not the devil. Not the European ministers. But Jesus is on the throne. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the Maker of heaven and earth. And His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. And He's my Jesus. He's my God. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. He's my King. And I will worship him. Hallelujah. Because that's who he is and that's what he's done for me. He has saved me. He set me free. And you know, the devil seeks to destroy me at times. Always had some attempt. I would say this last couple of years it's been intense. But I thank God. I'm coming out of the battle. Oh, I've got one or two battle scars. But guess what? I've slain the giants. And I'm breaking through. And Jesus is still on the throne in my life. Hallelujah. You know, just to stand here and preach the word of God, some folk think, oh, it's okay for him. He stands on this little pedestal and he's safe from everything that's going on around. Don't believe it. Do you know where the leadership stands in a battle? At the point of the spear. And do you know where the point of the spear goes first? It gets shoved into everything. Yeah, the word says, strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. The devil would take me out any time he wants, if that's what he wants to do. But he might scatter. He might prevent what God is doing. You know, he took Jesus out thinking he was going to bring everything to a halt. Biggest mistake he ever made. Hallelujah. And guess what? He ain't taking me out. I have a destiny. I have a purpose in life yet to still fulfill. Do you? Look at somebody and say, I've got a destiny. I've got a future. I'm going to fulfill my future in God. Amen? I'm going to fulfill my future in God. Praise his wonderful name. God is so good to us. Turn to Nehemiah. We're going back in the Old Testament. Believe it or not, the story about Zerubbabel happened before we get to the story in Nehemiah. Just because it's further towards the front of your Bible, that does not mean the order that it's happened. Hallelujah. That sometimes is a confusion, I know that. What has happened so far is Zerubbabel has set about building and rebuilding the temple. And the temple now is built. Hallelujah. The temple's built. Praise God. Our temple is built. But guess what? The walls of Jerusalem have fallen down. The walls of Jerusalem have fallen down. Come and sit at the side of your husband. Hallelujah. You're on tape now. All right, Dawn. The walls of Jerusalem have fallen down. They've built the temple, they've done all that, and they think, oh, now we can go back to living in our nice houses. But listen, if the city of Jerusalem is not built, rebuilt and fortified, if the temple is not rebuilt and fortified, guess what? Jesus the Messiah cannot come back. Come on. He has to come back to the city of Jerusalem. He has to come back and stand in the temple. All these things had to come to pass. So you can see why the prophets who were given the word of God to bring the city to its place. Now we're talking 500 years before Jesus arrives on the scene. And God is making plans 500 years ahead to bring the city back to being a real city, a walled city, a city with respect, a city of God. And God is at work. God is at work. Turn to Nehemiah chapter 1. There's so much I want to read, but I don't know how we're going to get it all in. Hallelujah. This is the way Nehemiah feels. Starting at chapter 2. Nehemiah is in the in Susa, the capital. Sorry, not chapter 2, verse 2, sorry. Sorry, verse 1, chapter 1, verse 2. Thank you, Roy. I'll get it right. Hallelujah. Then Hanani, one of the brothers, and some men from Judah came. And I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped and had survived the captivity, and about Jerusalem. And they said to me, there is a remnant in the province who survived the captivity, are in great distress and reproach, and the wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. Now it came about when I, Nehemiah, heard these words, I sat and wept and mourned for days. And I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. And I said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who preserves the covenant and the loving kindness for those who love him and keep his commandments. Let thine ear be now attentive and thine eyes open. Hear the prayer of thy servant, which I am praying before thee day and night on behalf of the sons of Israel, thy servants, confessing the sins of the sons of Israel, which have sinned against thee, and I and my father's house have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the ordinances which thou didst command thy servant Moses. He's in despair. He's beginning to see the error of not only his own ways, but of the ways of his brothers, his sisters, his family, and of the whole people of Israel. And he's repenting before God, and he's calling upon God at this time. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. What verse did we get to there? Thank you. 8. Verse 9. No, we start on verse 8, don't we? Thank you. Remember the word which thou didst command thy servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the peoples. This is what happened. The children of Israel were unfaithful to God. They brought in false gods. They went into idol worship. And God allowed them to be scattered throughout the nations. God allowed them to be scattered throughout the nations. Hallelujah. And he says, but if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, through those of you who have been scattered, were in the most remote parts of them to the place where I have chosen them to call them by my name to dwell. And let mine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and the prayer of thy servant who delight to revere thy name, and make thy servant successful today, and grant him compassion before this man. Now, I was the king's cupbearer. And you know what happened? The story goes on quickly. That when he went before the king, they said, what's the matter with you? What's the matter with your face? Do you know, if you went before the king looking miserable, and by God, some of you folk come into church and you look so miserable. If you did that in the capital of Susa, the king would have taken your head off. You see, the king would not have anybody looking miserable. You had to have a smile. Your eyes had to sparkle, you see. If your eyes weren't sparkling, if your mouth wasn't smiling, your head was rolling. Anybody miserable in his presence? He's a happy king. And he's going to keep you happy. And the if you read the story on, the king says to him, why are you looking so miserable? You know, this guy's always happy. He's happy because he's in the presence of God normally, but he's been in the presence of God and found out the state of the kingdom of God. He's in distress. He's in despair. And he's sad. He's sad of heart. He's sad of spirit. And you see, when you're sad of heart and spirit, it shows in your countenance. You read in the Psalms and David says, so, why art thou cast down? Hope thou in God. Rejoice in God. You know, he opened his jacket and said, so, why art thou cast down? Come on, hope in God, rejoice in God. And so, Nehemiah begins to tell the king why he's cast down. So the king says, I'm going to release you. And I'm going to send you back to Jerusalem. And tell me what you need to rebuild the walls. What will make you happy? And he tells him, and the king says, so be it. And he goes and begins to build the wall. Hallelujah. If he had not been in the presence of God, the king would have not said to him, and what can I do to help you? The king would have said, I know what I can do to help you. It's called a two-edged sword. And off with his head. I'm serious about it. This is what happened. If you can't be happy before the king, you're no good to him. Think about that one. Next time you come to church miserable. Next time you come downcast. The Bible says cast all your care upon him. Jesus. Because he cares for each and every one of you. He's not a Jesus that just simply goes, you know, floats by. Jesus stops. Jesus sent his Holy Ghost. And he stops to minister, to help, to bless, to build up, to exalt, to strengthen, to make strong in the city of God. Hallelujah. And so he starts the process of building Jerusalem. If you quickly turn to Nehemiah, just a little bit of a quick history lesson here. Nehemiah chapter 4 and verses 1 and 2. Some of you might not know why the Jews and the Samaritans were so against one another. Well, I'll give you the little potted history why. You'll have read this and never put this together. Now it came about that when Sanballat heard that they were rebuilding the wall, he became furious and angry and mocked the Jews. And he spoke in the presence of his brothers and the wealthy men of Samaria, and said, what are these feeble Jews doing? And are they going to restore it for themselves? Can they offer sacrifices? Can they finish in a day? Can they revive the stones from the dusty rubble, even the burned ones? This is what the Samaritans thought. And from that day, they were no longer brothers. They were always against one another. And that's one of the reasons why, when Jesus said to that Samaritan woman, you remember that story? He said, you've had how many husbands? 5 or 6 husbands. He said, and the one you're living with now is not even your husband. You know, and she's like, whoa, how do you know? You know, and she says, well, you know, you say that we have to sacrifice in Jerusalem, but our God's in the mountain. And so there's this division amongst them. And Jesus just ignored all that. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. It's not about colour. It's not about creed. It's not about nationality. Jesus came to seek all that were lost. But Charles, he found you. He found me. He found you, Leon. Praise God. He found us. We didn't find him. We were lost. We didn't know where we were. We didn't know where we were going. We could stand on the highest hill. You know, stand there and go, have a good look round. I'm still lost. Do you know why? We didn't have a map for our life. We were going aimlessly around a mountain. Constantly going round the same situation, time after time after time, saying, and you say to yourself, I will beat this. You didn't beat it the first time. So you treat it like a game. I'll have another go. And you go round the mountain again. And you say, I'm going to beat it this time. You end up back at the same place. And you keep on going around the mountain. Well, let me tell you this. You have to meet God to get away and get over this mountain. So that God can turn this mountain into a molehill. So you can step over the mountains. But you can only do it with Jesus in your life. You can only do it when God is in the center of your life. When God is taking control and giving direction to your life. You can only do it then. Haggai, Zerubbabel, Nehemiah, all these men were called by God. Is God calling you today? Has God got a purpose for your life? Has God got a destiny for your life? Men, women, you know, it is not just about men, it is about women as well. You don't sit on the sidelines. There were women in Jesus' ministry. There were women in the early church. There were women running churches. Never mind what Rome says. See, Rome's moving in on the Church of England. Why? Because we have a weak leader. Listen to what he has to say. And when he said all, you and I have not understood a word he says. Is that right, John? Yeah? We don't understand a word he says. He uses long words, big words. He's written a book. Nobody's bought it because nobody can understand what he's talking about. I don't know what English he uses. But it's not Cajun English, neither. He just goes on. A couple of years ago, I listened to his Christmas message. Just went straight over the top of me. So we've weak leaders. God is looking for people who will stand in the gap. God is looking for men and women who can stand in the gap. Who can stand for the Word of God. Who can stand in the anointing. Which is another step further. Standing in the anointing. Standing with the anointing on you. Standing with the anointing flowing through you. That's another challenge. And God has that challenge for each and every one of us to begin to move into. Let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 22. Ezekiel 22, praise God. Wonderful book is Ezekiel. God speaking says, and I searched for a man among them who should but build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. Sadly, in Ezekiel, he said he found no one. But you know something today? God is looking for men and women to stand in the gap, to build up that wall, that God won't destroy the land. Are you ready to stand in the gap? Are you ready to stand for God? Are you ready to flow in that anointing? Are you ready to face your challenges? Are you ready to face the beasts in your life that will allow you to press in, to break through, to pull down the powers of darkness, to break through and stand for God? Are you ready to do that? Our nation needs that to be in the church today. We need churches that are flowing in power. We have to have churches where there are signs, wonders and miracles. The hospitals, they're cutting finance on the hospitals. They're getting short-staffed. They're not coping with the situation that's happening today. I know a miracle-working Jesus. Do you know Him? He wants to flow through you and me. We have to get to that place where He will flow through us. Let me tell you this. None of us can look after ourselves. You've tried it, some of you. Most of us tried it, to look after ourselves. And we've made a mess. Made a mess. We need Jesus. And God now is looking for men and women to stand in the gap for the future. To pass the baton on. I can look back a few years in church life, 30 odd years now. No, it's more than that, isn't it? All right, sister, thank you. Probably about 40 years. Yeah, it is. It's over 40 years now. Oh, dear me. Maths is getting difficult now. Need a calculator to work it all out. It's now beginning to multiply. It's no longer additions, the multiplications I'm having to do to remember. Well, I can remember when the power of God was moving through people's lives in churches, when the prophetic word was coming through church life, when people were moving under the power, when the Spirit of God was moving in such a way. Let's turn to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5 and verse 11. Acts 5 and verse 11. And great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard these things. And at the hands of the apostles many signs and wonders were taking place among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's place. There's the key. The key, one accord, when the brethren dwell together in unity, their God commands the blessing. Commands the blessing. Life forevermore. It is like the oil that flows down the beard of Aaron. God is commanding blessings when people start beginning to dwell together in unity. This is where the church has got to move to. Stop doing its own thing. Stop being its own, you know, a church needs to be together. Stop being you're not an individual. You're a lively stone. And we come and we bring our corporate anointing in God. And we bring it. And we bring it so that we see that we bring it, the church, to a level where the power of God moves in such a way that there are signs, wonders and miracles and there is conviction in the pews. Conviction in the pews. Conviction in our worship. Even before the message is preached, people come and get saved. That's what it should be. Smith Wigglesworth used to ride on trains. And sit, move into the carriage where he was sat and suddenly come under conviction of the power of God and repent and say, what must I do to be saved? Why? Because he was in the presence of God. The anointing of God, the glory of God was upon him. The glory of God needs to be upon each and every one of us. We need to be visiting the Shekinah glory presence. We need to go into the Holy of Holies. We need to be in that holy place. Not dancing around in the courtyard, having a good time with the band. But pressing into prayer. Maybe even fasting. And it says here in Acts, if you read the beginning of it, the story of Ananias and Sapphira, they sought to deceive. They didn't have to do it. They could have just said, we're not going to give all of this money. But they wanted to look good. They wanted the feel-good factor. I'm a celebrity. Get me out of here. So God did. He slew them for lying. They lied to the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah. Sit up.
Praise God. And it's happening. It should be happening. From the oldest to the youngest. The Spirit of God moving through the church, moving through the church, moving through people's lives. It's not about how intelligent you are. It's not how many CSEs. I suppose they're all old hat now and all levels you've got. It's not about, what's these new ones we're doing? GCSEs and then A levels and then what else do we go on to? Yeah, I know, but what's these others now that they're sticking in? That's the one. Well done, Anne. I'm glad you were here today, Anne. I'm glad you're here, love. Now we've got NVQs. NVQs. What do they mean? National Vocational Qualification. Oh, wonderful. Oh, yes. I've got a National Vocational Qualification. Yeah, wonderful. Yes. I've got one of these. I've got a degree. Yes, you're about the same temperature as 1 degree as well. I've got a degree. So what? I don't care about it. I want to be hot for God.
Amen.
I want to be hot for God. I want to be in His presence. I want to sense His presence wherever I go. I want to feel His presence when I'm around people. When the people of God come together, I want to feel an increase of the presence of God. I want to feel an excitement about being in the presence of God's people. And when I get around them, I'm like, yeah, this is where we should be. This is what's happening, you know. This is where we're going to move from. We're going to another level. Something's going to happen tonight. You know, there's an anticipation. Come on. Something's going to happen tonight because the people of God have come with an expectancy. They've brought their anointing. They've sought the face of God and things are going to move.
Amen.
Walls are going to come down. The gates of hell are going to be destroyed. Signs, wonders and miracles are going to be the thing. And when we go out in our daily life, we carry that anointing. And we see people healed and set free, saved, born again, filled with the Spirit of God. That's what God wants for this world. That's what God wants for you and for me. Can you tell I get excited?
Yeah.
I get excited. Sometimes I jump across chairs. And I get really excited. Yeah, I'll be driving. I should be driving that little demon out of him in a minute. Glory to Jesus. John's Gospel, chapter 15.
Amen.
John's Gospel, chapter 15. Yeah. Verse 19.
If I will look at, if I will read from verse 17, let's do this one. Verse 17, we'll just give a fuller picture. This I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hates me, hated me before it hated you. And verse 19 says, if you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Because Jesus chose you out of the world hates you. When you find Jesus and you begin to walk the walk of faith, when you begin to walk in the realms of the Spirit of God, you will find that your friends from your previous life don't really like you. They don't want to hang around with you. They get irritated with you. And if you're not careful, you get sucked back in to that lifestyle. Because you're afraid you might have no friends. Jesus did not come to make friends. He came to make disciples. It's a greater commitment. It's a greater blessing. Jesus came to make disciples, not friends. See, friends can walk away on you. Friends leave you. Friends fall out. Disciples don't. There's a difference. Jesus has come to make disciples of each and every one of us. And he wants us to realize that his power and his love and his glory needs to be in your life. He knows the challenges that each and every one of you faces. But he also knows that he has a different future to what you had earlier on before you met him. And he has now got a destiny for you. He's got a wall for you somewhere to build. He's got some gates for you to somewhere to erect. Come on. He's got a city for you to build. He's got people for you to meet. And I'm not talking in the sense of building bricks. You know what? Come on, you know what I'm saying, don't you? I'm saying there are some spiritual dimensions that God has got for you to walk into, to move into. Who knows where next month leads us, or next year? We're on the verge of next year. Where are we going next year? What challenge? Yes, thank you. Forward. I'll go forward. Praise God with that one. Going forward. Following God. Wherever he leads, I will follow. Whatever he says, I'll do it. Whatever he asks, I'll respond to. My Jesus, my Savior, my Lord, and my Master. And I want to press in. I want to do the work of the Master. I want to do the work of the King of Kings. I'm tired, and I don't have any more time for just to be civil and pleasant. I'm tired of all of that. I want to move on. I'm tired of falsehood. I'm tired of apathy and lukewarmness. I'm tired of it. I don't need it. It drains me. It doesn't give me life. All these things bring a drain on your spirit. I don't want a money bag with holes in it. You can earn as much as you want. You put the money into the money bag, he says in Scripture. But the bag's got holes in it. It just disappears. I want what I've got to count for something. I want what God has given to me to count for something worthwhile.
I want Babe to leave with a mark that says Jesus was here. Jesus was here. That's what I want. And I just want to ask every one of you today, is that what you want? You've heard all that I've said today. I don't know how I can roll it up into just a single statement. I can't. If anybody can, I'll appreciate it. But I can't roll it into one statement. But I can put before you a challenge. Do you want to move forward in God? Do you want that anointing of God to be on your life? Are you desiring to see God move in power? Are you wanting the fullness of the presence of God? Are you wanting to be able to build walls, build gates, build cities, leave a mark on the earth that is to the glorifying of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? If you are, then I'm just going to ask you right now to stand. Unless the Lord builds the house, we all labour in vain. And let me say this to you. If you're standing because somebody else is standing, you feel guilty to stand, sit down, because God knows what you're doing. Yeah. I'm not going to judge you. I don't judge. God judges. We have to discern. We have to encourage. And I don't want you standing just because everybody else appears to be standing. There are times when I don't stand up, and I stand up for a reason, because God has not spoken to me in that way yet. And so I will be prepared to sit down. But if you're standing and you're saying, I want to step forward in God, I want to see the power of God in my life, then we're going to pray together and we're going to believe God together. It's okay for people to say, oh, I've accepted Jesus as my Lord and Saviour. I carry a Bible. I read my Bible. It goes further than that. Do you know Him as a personal friend? Do you talk with Him every day? Does He speak with you? Can you feel His presence? I want to get you to a place where you are feeling the presence of God. Where you can say, I know He's here. Right now. I know He's here. Right now. Jesus. Hallelujah. Spirit of God. Spirit of God, just come amongst us. Hallelujah. Can I just ask that there is absolute total silence right now. Absolute total silence right now. Even with the children in the back. Just wait on God. Just wait on God. Waiting on God. Come, Holy Spirit. Just come in power. Come, Holy Spirit. We present our bodies, our lives, to You, Lord, as a living sacrifice. And Father God, we just ask that You would take what we have and what we are. And Father, that which is of no use to either us or You, remove it from our lives, Father. Cause us, O God, to be ready this next year for the work of Your kingdom. Amen. Father, I want to be what You want me to be. I want to walk where You want me to walk. I want to speak what You want me to speak. I want to be Your hands, to be Your lips, to be Your eyes, Lord. Father, let Your glory fill this place, fill these temples with Your glory, Father. Fill these temples, O God, with Your glory. We just ask it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We just worship you. We just give you praise. Just while we're all stood, if there's nobody here that's...